When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're the Junks, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Time now to say good morning to our pal, Brian Robinson Jr. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. B-Rob, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Did you stay up to watch the game last night? What is your Monday night football routine when you're off?
Usually I do stay up and watch the games. They come on pretty late, so I probably watch up until about halftime. Unless the game interests me on a higher level, then maybe I'll watch through the whole game. But I didn't get to watch the whole game last night. Probably watched a good half.
What do you watch? When you watch, what are you looking at? Are you watching the running backs? Are you watching like the O-line? Or are you just kind of following the ball like the rest of us?
So last night was a night where I had a chance to study because, you know, the Cowboys, I'm facing them this week. So
right.
I had a chance to just kind of see how they play, you know, overall, you know, as a defense, you know, as a team, just all of their traits. And, you know, I had, you know, a great idea of how they play based off of how I seen them play last night, you know, and I do watch the opposing running backs against the team I'm about to play against. So obviously I've seen Joe Mixon have a great night.
Right.
So,
yeah, be honest, B Rob. You were getting a little bit giddy watching Joe Mixon carve up that defense. You were chuckling to yourself a little bit, knowing that you're gonna face those guys on a short week.
Don't make him say that.
I was definitely enjoying it, you know. I was definitely enjoying him do his thing. You know, I've been a fan of Joe Mixon for years. Probably, you know, since he came out of college, and you know, just to see him, you know, constantly pushing for, you know, the running backs, you know, year 8 and 9 and still balling and doing his thing to that level and, you know, just having a good night, you know, it just looked good, you know.
Yeah, the older set running backs are kind of having a renaissance. I mean, Derrick Henry, he scores every week. Alvin Kamara, like, the amount of touches and utilization he gets in that offense is crazy. Like, it's a good year to be an older running back in the league.
It's just a good year for running backs in general. Yeah. Because, you know, they try to paint this narrative above us, you know, that, you know, we can't play for years and 10 plus years when, you know, obviously our best, most paved running backs in the league right now are in their, you know, second and third contracts, like Christian and Kamara and Henry, you know, them guys like that that just continue to push for us to just show that, you know, we can play this game at a high level for, you know, as many years as we, you know, put the work in.
Yeah,
for.
Who would downplay running backs? Like, that's crazy, man. That's weird. I don't know any guys that would do that.
So, B-Rob, let's go back to the Philly game. You found the end zone, which was nice. You got back on the field. You found the end zone, but not a ton of success for the team running the football. What were the biggest challenges? As a fan, just watching the game, it seemed like Jalen Carter was a force.
Credit to him. He played well. I just feel like it was more so on our end of the ball. You know, we could have just came out stronger. We could have we was very bland. We didn't really attack them how I would have expected our group to attack. And we just didn't, you know, and they play hard, they play physical, and, you know, and critical times in the game, they was just more physical than us, you know, and that's when we got to step up to the plate and, you know, be the team that we aspire to be and, you know, dominate those moments. And I feel like, you know, once everybody look in the mirror and, you know, look at the film and just realize, you know, what's at stake in those critical situations, then we got to be better just all around.
So it wasn't like a scheme thing that you're saying. It was just more like sort of maybe inner motivation, that kind of thing?
I'm never really going to ever get caught up into the schemes because that's not my MO.
Right.
Like it's my job to prepare, you know, whatever is in the scheme or the game plan. And, you know, as you know, they call the plays, we're going to execute the plays the best we can, no matter if we like the call or not, you know. We got to trust that, you know, our coach is going to put us in the best situations, and we just got to go and, you know, try to make that play come to life, you know. And I just feel like in critical situations in the game, we just didn't do that. And a lot of people took accountability, like, you know, coaches stood up and took accountability for, you know, decisions that they made in the game. Maybe they would like to have back. And us as players, we gotta just do our part. You know, we got to just make it come to life.
Mm-hmm. When you guys went through the film, was some of that stuff obvious? Like, could you see it? Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Film was, I even told Coach in the position meeting yesterday, you know, it was ugly to watch because we much, much better than what we put out there in a game where, you know, we had an opportunity to just show the world, you know, that, hey, we are who we say we are. And, you know, the film was just very ugly to watch, and it didn't show like what we've been working towards, and I just feel like it's a perfect opportunity, like, for guys to look in the mirror and get back on track.
How much of that had to do with just different personnel, different guys in there? Because you guys have been banged up a little bit, like the old line.
That really has nothing to do with personnel. It's because, you know, we had to prepare to play. You know, when I, like, just like I get put back into the lineup, I'm not doing anything different than what I've been doing to prepare and to stay in the lineup or be, you know, in the game plan. So nothing really changes around that, around the personnel. You know, we can insert guys in different positions everywhere. Everybody got to be prepared to play their role the same exact way. So that's never going to be, you know, an excuse for personnel purposes, you know.
Joined by Brian Robinson from the Commanders. He's brought to you by Main Street Bank. I love Austin Ekeler, what he brings to this team, the compliment he brings to your tough physical running style. Problem with Austin Ekeler for you personally, Brian, is he really caps your receiving output, man. I know you can catch the ball out of the backfield. I know you have that skill set. Do you ever go up to Cliff and be like, hey, man, throw me an extra ball or two instead of, like, going to Ekeler all the time? But you're a team guy. You're not going to do that. That's just me being selfish.
Yeah. Like you said, like, I feel like I'm just as skillful, you know, with catching the ball and receiving as I am running out of the backfield. So, you know, I'm always going to be for, you know, receiving or catching the ball or catching more balls, but also knowing, you know, that Austin, you know, who he is, you know, he's one of the most skillful running backs, receiving running backs to ever play. So, like, you know, just respect to him and to respect to his game and knowing what he brings to our team, you know, in our backfield as a receiver, you know, I just let him, you know, that's his lane, you know, I just let him have it. You know, and if it's anything for me in a receiving game, which, you know, Cliff still try to, you know, get me involved in the passing game, you know, I'll be all in for it. You know, I'll be all in for it any way it is to get me more touches, but I also want to see my guy eat too.
Talking to Brian Robinson Jr., who's run for 524 yards, 7 touchdowns this season, did have a touchdown in that Eagles game. Of course, he missed some time, and we've had this debate on the show about what Dan Quinn said yesterday about Jaden Daniels. He said Jaden Daniels is not injured. All right. What's the difference between being injured and hurt from your perspective? Because no matter what the coach says, a lot of fans don't believe him and they think that Jaden is playing hurt.
I mean, I'm not really sure the conversation he's having with the coaches or training staff. You know, I know for the most part, you know, I think he feels good. I really can't tell you what what's really going on with him, if there is anything going on with him. But, you know, the coaches and the, you know, the trainers, they know the truth, you know. And if Coach Quinn told you, you know, gave you an update on his status, then I would believe him. You know what I'm saying?
Because, I do. I actually, you know, do believe him, Brian. Here's what he said. And he said it's just like, you know, the last 10 days or so, and because of what they've been dealing with, they were kind of managing Jaden, that he just, the timing was off. He wasn't necessarily getting all the reps that he was getting before, like before practice, after practice. You know, you had the condensed week last week. And it was more of just almost like a reps thing. I buy that, actually. What was your schedule like, let's say, in the last week or so? Were you guys getting in full practice, full reps?
Yeah, I feel like I get what Coach is saying. You know, we haven't been, you know, kind of pushing the gas how we usually have, like, would, you know, to just sharpen our skills, you know, week in and week out. You know, it's starting to kind of, you know, kind of affect our gameplay when it comes to the weekend. Maybe we're not all the way physically prepared based off of how our week looked, you know. So he just feels like we need to turn the gas on a little more during the week to just make sure that we're prepared, well, physically prepared for Sunday, you know, and not just letting the weeks go by and not getting our work and sharpening our tools up every week to how we have known to do it so that we can progress every week, you know, and make strides in the right direction every week instead of, you know, going down.
So, Brian, you said you watched some of the game last night. You played the Cowboys a couple times in your career. What do you see in their current defense? Obviously, they still have, even though they're struggling, they're 31st in the league against the run, by the way. They still have a star player like Micah Parsons on that line. What do you see?
I feel like they definitely have some stars, you know, on their D that, you know, is going to lead them and, you know, try to, you know, definitely take off for them. But I don't really see anything different, you know, just same caliber type of players, you know, just in and out. There's really nothing about them that's going to change the way we do anything. We just got to prepare our best to go play our best ball, you know, regardless of how they show up, you know. Not having the best season, divisional game, you know, it's going to be a lot of emotions, and we just got to handle our side of the sticks.
Have you noticed that teams have attacked you differently in the last 3 or 4 weeks?
I haven't really been on the field to kind of feel how teams play us, mm-hmm. but based on the film, I do see just some changes in just how teams, they feel like they have us figured out, so they try to prepare and run plays that they know can stop us, or they feel like will stop us. So I see a lot of new stunts. Like Philly ran a lot of stunts with their front, you know, to try to disturb the run game, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but now that I'm back on the field, I will get a better feeling of how teams really, you know, try to attack us and play us.
It's time for the Pizza Bowlies question of the week. Pizza Bowlies offering wings, subs, and more. Pizza Bowlies delivers more taste. Download the Pizza Bowlies app for easy ordering. How tough is the late bye week for you and your Commanders teammates? Bye week in week 14 upcoming.
Did he hear you?
Brian? What did you say?
I'm sorry. How tough is it for you and the teammates having the late week 14 bye?
It's not tough, you know. One thing I learned, like, it really don't matter how anything is thrown at you. It don't matter if you play, you know, a Thursday night game, have to turn around and play Sunday. It really don't matter. Like, a part of being a pro is learning how to, you know, adjust to, you know, any situation or the circumstance regardless. You know, short weeks, they suck, but they make the best out of good teams, you know, if they go and we know how to handle things the right way. So I feel like being able to get an more extended week going into this one will really help guys kind of get their minds back right and their bodies back right to just, you know, finish these last two weeks for the bye.
We used to have John on for a couple of years, and he'd always talk about he was big in like massages. He'd get several massages a week. He also said a big thing was a day after a game, I think he would go right away and he would lift to like get that lactic acid or whatever, you know, out of his body. Do you have any? Are you into any of that stuff too?
Yeah, I lift. I lift the day after the game, mm-hmm. mostly. I didn't lift the day after this week's game because I just had a couple of extra days to kind of get my body, let my body just rest. But I got back in the weight room yesterday, had a nice workout. I'm going to get another one in today after this call, actually. Mm. And just got to live in it. Got to live in the building. Got to live in the training room. Got to live in the weight room. We play the way we play. You know, got to get multiple massages, 3, 4, 5 massages per week.
Wow.
You really got to take care of your body, you know. being healthy, you know, never take it for granted, you know. You got to stay feeling your best. That's going to help your mind and help your body.
All right, B-Rob, we're pulling for you. Best of luck this weekend against Dallas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Expecting a big one. Thank you, buddy.
All right, thank y'all.
Yep, that's Brian Robinson, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local, put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information.
I have to tell you, I really appreciate his, he's sincerely trying to answer these questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Thoughtful guy.
He's sincerely trying to answer them, and he's giving us his best answer. So I really appreciate
it. He doesn't just duck.
Yeah. He's thinking about what we're asking him. He's trying to give us his honest answer. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Don't forget, coming up at 9:40, we'll be joined by Luke Thomas. We'll talk about the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight and more with him. That's coming up at 9:40 here on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at the end of this segment, we will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Rod Stewart's One Last Time tour at Merriweather Post Pavilion. That's Saturday, July 19th. So keep listening for your chance to win. It's coming up very shortly. So I know I'm not the only one that struggles with daylight savings, and then it starts getting dark at like 4:45 and 5 p.m.
Very depressing, isn't it?
It's terrible. Takes a while to get used to.
I don't know what to do when it gets dark at 4. The only thing I know to do is drink, because I still got like 4 hours.
That's
to
your
kill.
Trigger.
I don't know what else to do.
I mean, he says it's because of tailgating on the weekends, but
I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. It's a common theme.
So, you know, I've been, my wife and I have both been struggling through it for like the last 2 weeks, but then I didn't feel as bad about it when I saw this story. And Drab and I can kind of relate on this. We have a weird like affinity for what this story relates to.
All right.
Do you understand that the people who live in Barrow, Alaska, when the sun goes down today, it doesn't come back up until January 22nd of 2025.
So they live in darkness?
They're going to be living in darkness from today until January 22nd.
All right.
That's 64 straight days with no sunlight.
Well, there can't be more than a few hundred people live there, right? How many people live there?
There can't be a lot of people. I don't know what the population is.
Cakes, I'm not surprised. You always mention that you learn everything from movies and TV.
Correct. Very correct.
Did we not watch the last season of True Detective?
We did watch True Detective, yes. And it goes back even further, where Drab T-Shirt and I both, we hold this movie in very high regard. It's called 30 Days of Night, and it's about vampires who show up in Barrow, Alaska, because, hello, vampires can't survive running around in the daylight. They would burn up and shrivel up to the size of a prune. If it's dark out 24/7 for 30 straight days, and in this case, 64 days, the vampires just get to feast on everybody in the town.
One of the great premises of a film. It's a great, graphic novel of all time.
It is a great idea for a movie.
Wasn't there another movie, though, about this, though? About darkness? Like, in this town or something? No? A different movie?
Insomnia,
maybe.
Al Pacino.
Right? Al Pacino. I was going to say Al Pacino movie.
All right. Is that also set in the same town?
I know it's in Alaska. And
it's dark a lot.
Yeah. And they have to solve a murder before the daylight comes.
You know what?
And
I sleep on that movie. I've never seen it. Maybe I should give it a run.
Right.
But could you imagine where?
Well,
it's not only dark at 5:30. It's dark. And then doesn't become light for over 2 months.
So what is,
you'd go stir crazy.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Like, I don't know.
You would go insane.
You'd probably go insane.
Would you say the population is there?
It's 5,000.
Wow. You got to be a real loser. Like, that's the only place on Earth that you could live?
You're just highly adaptable. Like, you're actually you're actually the toughest person on the planet if you can live where it's dark for two straight months.
I think you don't have many options and you're stranded. No one chooses to live in darkness.
Save money on sunglasses. Well,
first off, there's a lot of people who like living in Alaska.
Alaska's beautiful.
Right.
But that ain't living in Alaska. That's living in the dark.
I mean,
you might as well live on the moon.
I know. I think most of them are Eskimos. I don't know.
Okay.
Inuit?
Inuit, yeah.
They're native to it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. So they got no choice. Exactly. I was right. They got no choice.
Yeah, but I'm sure they might like it. I'm sure they don't want to move to Florida.
I bet you if you drop them off at the beach of Florida, they say, hey, you know what? That's pretty good.
Right, we're missing out on a lot.
This is pretty good.
They're going to be butt hot at Daytona.
Oh, yeah. Their wardrobe would not work in Daytona.
So I have no idea about this. What did you call the native people that live there? What are they called?
No, I have
Inuit.
Inuit? I know nothing about them. Do they like it? Are they like people that live in the Amazon or something? Like they're cut off from.
Know.
So do they have like Starlink? Or they have internet? Like what?
Dude, they got a high school football team there.
Oh, I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
It's all fully locked. They're fully
lights.
Locked in.
Yeah, they better have a
Hey, it's not just Friday night lights. It's Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night lights.
Okay, I'm just. No, I don't know anything about it.
It's just a small community.
Yeah,
probably fishing or town or whatever.
I mean, I would think they have a high suicide rate.
All right, what about Eskimo too?
There definitely was one in True Detective Night Country. Suicide.
Which one was Night Country?
The last edition.
Oh, yeah, I
you
didn't see that
on
one.
That.
Yeah,
slept on that one. It's pretty good.
Totally slept on it. No, I just can't think of anything worse. I mean, I think most people agree with Cakes. It's kind of dreadful when it gets dark at 4:30. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, but if they're used to it, it's probably nothing to them.
I guess. If you're,
but it's just the way they live.
It's their way of life.
Yeah.
I do find myself going to bed earlier. I think it's just the consequences of the darkness coming earlier.
Sure.
Now, like when my kid has an activity like last night, it's different. Our practice ends at 8. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's 6 o'clock and you're thinking it feels like it's 9 o'clock.
That's
10 o'clock.
I say there's nothing to do. Might as well pour a drink. I got 4 more hours.
I went
to
bed. Played pickleball under the lights. Didn't kick anybody in the head. That's weird that happened. But before we even started, the lights are on. Mm-hmm. Like we're walking to the court right around 6 o'clock. Lights on.
If you're trying to get...
When you play pickleball at 6, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Have you already had dinner? Because you're notorious...
No.
So you don't like that?
I don't want to play pickleball with like full stomach.
Right.
So I play pickle. There's rumblies in the tumblies.
Right.
And I get back like 7:30 or 7:40 and eat, regrettably, a late dinner. Dinner tonight will be 5:30. Perfect. Sweet spot. Don't know what we're having yet, but that's what we're not going to eat like at 8 o'clock. That's finished. Then you eat at 9 o'clock when you're out at your daughter's volleyball this week?
Well, yeah, it was a Friday night or Saturday night.
Yeah.
Why didn't you get back until 11:30?
So I eat 8 and 9 o'clock on the regular just because of my kids' activities.
Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, Mondays 7 to 8, Wednesdays 6:30 to 7:30.
We didn't get our dinner served probably till 10.
That is just an outrage.
But we had a game.
I understand.
I mean, it had post stuff and then, didn't get really food delivered till 10.
Just so night late. TGI Fridays after a 7:30 movie, so that was like 10 p.m.
Yeah, do you have a sponsorship deal with TGI Fridays or something?
No, swear I would.
Okay.
Something's going on. You think he's getting free mudslides.
Yeah, maybe he's got like a gift card. We don't know.
Mention it twice. You guys mention places all the time.
Did you go there for dinner? After the
it's just—it's right next to the theater, and it was already 9:30 at night. But I got wings. I mean, I didn't get a full
but
dinner.
You didn't plan like when am I going to have dinner?
Like
one thing I do kind of plan a little bit is
we eat late though on average. Yeah. It's Friday. I can't remember what happened before.
Right. I wish I didn't eat so late.
I think actually we were hoping sometimes those movie theaters, like I did have a beer at the movie theater.
You were hoping
sometimes they have nice.
Food?
They have nice, like some of the modern places will have nicer things, and we got pretzel bites during the movie.
See, I don't. That's about as foofy as I need to get for in theater food. I'm a movie purist. Give me popcorn. Right. Give me gummy bears. Maybe give me nachos.
You don't want like a steak.
I don't need.
They don't usually have a steak, but a lot of times they'll have like sliders.
Do I need to have duck fat fries while I'm eating while I'm watching a movie? Or like, I mean, it doesn't have to be that fancy.
Right. I don't think the AMC in Tyson's has been modernized as some others. Although it had a bar,
yeah.
So we got a margarita and a beer at the bar. And then they didn't have like solicitor. We just did. I mean, the restaurant right there.
I could probably get used to going to the movies and getting drunk.
Yeah, it's just same deal, different location.
Yeah, I could probably get used
to that.
You
gotta find a new activity now that volleyball season's
over. Yeah, it's all about the tailgates.
New place to drink.
Well, I got club volleyball coming up. We're gonna be traveling all over the country. So,
what are some of your upcoming stops?
I think that
what exotic locales are you heading
most
to?
Most of the standards, I think, like I think New Orleans,
Pittsburgh,
Kansas, Florida, Philly.
That is kind of a U.S.
I mean,
tour right there.
It's kind of all over, yeah. I'm not sure where Nationals are this year, but
very good.
Maybe Dallas. I don't know. Yeah, we'll be all over. I'll find all the bars.
I'm sure you will.
It'd be great if they were in Barrow, Alaska. Oh,
<yeah. laughs> Could you imagine?
If
that's what he drew.
Miserable. Yeah. I would be hammered.
Yeah, I mean, it
would
be silly in the summertime.
You'd be hammered. It's no different.
Yeah.
How's that different than New Orleans?
I know. Yeah. He used to just do, he go to like a spot for practices?
What do you mean?
Like twice a week?
What do you mean?
Well, you had like a twin.
Yeah. Closed Famous Dave's. That was my spot.
Did
they ever open that back up, you think? Sometimes restaurants close and they open back up.
No, it's I believe it's a bakery now.
Yeah, usually,
it's a bakery?
Yeah.
They don't usually close down and then open back up as what they were when they closed down.
Usually.
That doesn't usually happen.
He's hoping for the rebrand.
Yeah, usually it's a new spot.
That was my
spot.
What do you think? It's Famous Dan's?
I get the salmon plank.
And you got the Kevin Plank salmon.
And I'm going to get two cocktails every time. Every Tuesday, Thursday.
Right, you told him a heavy pour.
I'm sure it's all about the tailgating.
Yeah.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
nothing says delicious like a barbecue joint and salmon.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I liked. All right. I don't really care about barbecue.
10th caller right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score two tickets to see Rod Stewart one last time tour Saturday, July 19th at Merriweather Post Pavilion. You've won tickets before. You can buy them. Tickets are on sale this Friday, November 22nd at 10 a.m. For ticks and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. So caller number 10 right now, you are going to win. Looking to upgrade your office game? Swing by PVI Office Furniture, where we've got everything you need to take your workspace from the bench straight to the big leagues. Whether you're drafting up the next great idea or just need a power play when it comes to comfort, PVI has the perfect lineup of desks, chairs, and accessories. Mention The Fan, and how about you score 15% off your in-store purchase? Don't miss your shot. Hit the ice at PVI Office Furniture today and elevate your workspace like a true champion. PVI Office Furniture, where productivity nets a hat trick. Visit us at PVIPVI.com because business grows with PVI. Time for the Junks to say hello to our old pal Luke Thomas. Morning Combat with Luke Thomas and Brian Campbell is available Monday and Friday live at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Junkies. How are you guys? Thank you for having me.
Of course. Of course.
So I've watched some of your videos on Instagram and Twitter, and you got strong opinions. I don't think you're going to be upset. Cakes has a declaration for you.
Okay.
No. I heard this. dumb declaration yesterday. This from the same guy who waited to leave to go to Dewey Beach at 4 p.m. on a Friday. Yeah, okay. Great takes.
Okay.
That's a very good point.
Hold on. Listen, you got to pump the brakes here. If my wife didn't have a job or worked like a half day, I would have been happy to leave for Dewey Beach at a reasonable time. My wife doesn't get home from work till like 3:15 or 3:30. She had to pack a bag and hop into the cars. Trust me, it wasn't. I knew it wasn't optimal. I wasn't a big fan of it, but I ran into just bone crunching traffic, and it sucked.
Yeah, I'd rather just die than sit in that traffic. Yeah, but that's a personal preference.
Yeah.
All right. So the Jake Paul Tyson fight sucked Cakes in. So Cakes, you know, is not a boxing fan. He's not watching any of this. But the build up to the fight intrigued him so much.
It did. I was a sucker.
And he was duped.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you say something about sandbagging. Maybe you can explain that. People know what sandbagging is in golf, but you were kind of upset with the way that Jake Paul handled it afterwards, if he indeed carried Mike Tyson.
First of all, let me say something. Like, I understand being sucked in as a casual fan, mm-hmm. but if you know anything about boxing, this is like, you know, turning down a steak dinner so you can go to Arby's. And then like, oh, the food wasn't great. Yeah, you ate at Arby's. That's why.
Right. You know,
that's exactly why. So aside from that, here is my basic problem. I've interviewed Jake Paul many times. I've attended his fights live many times. I've been to, I think, 4 of his fights live. And I do respect his hustle, and I do respect the machine that he has built around himself. But the problem is this. With little exception, he sandbags. And by sandbagging, I mean you knowingly take on an opponent that you are much better than for the purposes of making winning easy. Right? That's sandbagging. And that's okay if you're going to sell us like a brutal finish, or, you know, you're going to really use that sandbagging to your advantage. But what he's trying to pull is both sandbagging. You're fighting a 58-year-old man who's walking out to the ring with a copper tone knee brace on.
That was so embarrassing.
I mean, that was so bad. I saw that and I was like, what are we doing?
And then
you want to say, oh, you had mercy on him. Number one, if you're going to carry an opponent, you don't tell the world about it so you can remove their dignity after the fact. Second of all, if you have to carry an opponent, or you want to argue that you had to show mercy to a guy that you knew you could probably smash if you really wanted to, then the fight should have never been made. It absolves Jake Paul from ever having to do anything. Oh, don't blame me. I didn't want to hurt the 58-year-old man. Stretch grandpa or don't book the fight. You can't have it both ways.
Hey, Luke, doesn't this, though, with 60 million eyeballs going to Netflix and all the buffering, that was a disaster. But doesn't this embolden Netflix now to just put on weird circus-like farce performances because they know that they're going to just draw in casual suckers like your guy Cakes? But I'm out now. No. I'm not coming back for the second rendition of it.
Hmm.
You know, well, that's just it. I mean, I think you kind of answered your own question. I mean, the history of combat sports is filled with punctuated moments in time where promoters do these kinds of tricks, and they work, but it's like a sugar high. They work for 1, 2, at most, kind of 3 big events or punctuated moments again, but they can't last. It doesn't sustain fandom. I think this was more of a trial balloon about what kind of size audience could they get? How much of an appetite is there for this more generally? They might try something like this again. But for example, if they tried Jake Paul versus Conor McGregor, I don't know if it would do, by the way, not just 60 million eyeballs, 60 million households, very different, a lot more than 60 million eyeballs. That would do quite well, but that's also a different thing than what they're offering with Tyson, which was just maximum name appeal and no ability to fight whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. It really affected me in a way that it just kind of reinforced, I don't know that I can ever watch boxing again. UFC, by and large, you know, you're a more critical analyst, so I'm sure you get frustrated more than I do, but by and large, UFC delivers. I mean, I guess if guys just sit there and wrestle and lay on top of each other, maybe it's not as exciting, but it usually delivers. Boxing, I always leave over the last 20 years just feeling dirty. Like, I literally just been scammed, and I didn't pay extra for it. But I sure wasted an hour and a half of sleep to watch that.
Yeah, I listen, boxing and MMA are gross. They're gross industries filled with gross people. I'm probably pretty gross too at some point.
It's like radio.
Yeah, same thing with radio. But don't you? I mean, you're more critical eye. But I mean, I feel like the UFC fights, they deliver more often than they don't.
So the reality with that, like for example, it's harder to bet MMA than it is to bet boxing, because the variability of what can affect a fight in MMA is obviously wider. You can get kicked, punched, slammed, you name it. You have less of that in boxing, and so it becomes a little bit easier to bet, and that speaks to, that there's not as much craziness that goes on. But I would just really say, dude, 2023 was one of the best years in boxing in the last 30, and the beginning of this year, not so much now, but the beginning of this year was right behind it. If you missed 2023, I just don't know what to tell you. You missed an absolute moment in time where it was month after month of not just important fights, but those two, but slobber knockers, back and forth action. It was a magical moment. So
with any names?
Oh, sure. I'll tell you exactly a name. The last fight I attended live for boxing was Errol Spence taking on Terrence Crawford.
Yep.
Terrence Crawford is arguably the best fighter in the world. He's a guy out of Omaha, Nebraska, and that fight was supposed to be a 50-50 fight, $20 million for each guy, $20 million plus gate at the T-Mobile, and Terrence Crawford worked him like a summer job. It was one of the most impressive things I had. It is literally the most impressive combat sports performance I have ever seen live. And buddy, I watch thousands of fights a year. That is one that memory will stay. It literally, there's a video of this. I'm not kidding, EB. It brought me to tears. It brought me to tears to watch how good this guy was in person. Magic.
The only thing I would say to that, and I believe every word you say, is that for whatever reason, these guys aren't crossing over to the general population. Like, they're just not big names to the general public.
That is true. Boxing has a problem like that. I would say that fight did a pretty decent job of crossing over, but this is the problem. A lot of people don't know even who the semi-good fighters are. Last week, a guy named Bam Rodriguez, 24 years old, he fought in Philly. Did you guys hear about it? Probably not. Bam Rodriguez is all action, all skill, 24, and no one knows about it. But what they do hear about is Jake Paul. You know, you've never been to Jake Paul fights. I mean, his fans are Garbage Pail Kids. I mean, let's just be honest about that.
They're what?
Garbage Pail Kids.
That's a funny reference.
It's the overlap of I've never kissed a girl and I lost all my money in crypto in one Venn diagram. That's what it is. Uh-huh. They're not traditional boxing fans. Yeah. They don't get the news from traditional boxing outlets.
Right.
So if you want to see good boxing fights, trust me, they're there. They're just not going to be promoted on this.
Yeah. So what do we need? We need a modern day Don King, like not without all the scandal, but I mean, we need better promoters. What is it?
It's a little hard to explain, but you may not appreciate this, but just listen to me very quickly as I try to explain this. People say boxing is broken, and they're right. It is. But here is the real messed up part about it that's hard to reconcile for people. It was broken on purpose to protect it. And the reason why it was broken on purpose to protect it is because it has been tried to be monopolized by very corrupt interests over time. And so federal legislation was introduced to basically make that impossible. The downside to that is that it makes it so fractured, it's hard to know who's coming or going or what really matters. But it makes it more equitable because no one single entity can rule the space, at least in theory. That's what the legislation is trying to do.
All right, Luke, we only have a minute, and I want to touch on the UFC. So John Jones beat Stipe. To me, it was almost, I expected it. Stipe hadn't had a big win in like 7 years. I mean, I guess Cormier was a little bit more recent, but he was 43 years old too. Age is undefeated. You went back and watched all the fights. He was slower. The big question coming out of this is, will John Jones now fight Tom Aspinall, who's a big monster, younger guy who can move, versus he wants to fight Alex Pereira, who's tiny compared to him?
I wouldn't call Pereira tiny compared to him, but he's certainly not as big and normal a heavyweight as Aspinall. Whether the fight will get made, I would put it as, at this stage, unlikely. I would still not rule it out, but I would say unlikely, and in part because John is making financial demands to get and he's making the sort of financial demands that the UFC simply does not bend to. They might in this particular case because the fight is historically important, but I would say as of now, unlikely, don't count on it, which would be unfortunate.
Luke, thanks as always, man. We love talking to you. I'll have to do it again soon, man.
Thanks, guys. Hey, I've been going on these shows since 2007.
I
don't take it for granted. I really appreciate you guys.
No, we love thanks, having Luke. You, man. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, I looked it up. Buddy. I met him at MMAC at the DC Armory.
Very good.
Very cool. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate it, bud.
Take care, guys.
Yep, and of course, you can watch Morning Combat with Luke Thomas and Brian Campbell. It's available Monday and Friday live at 11 a.m. on the YouTube.
Why aren't we texting him for boxing winners if it's so easy?
That's Jason's bit.
I know.
You're stealing Jason's thunder.
He used to do that with UFC. Did he do it with boxing?
I don't know if he did it with boxing or not.
We should be doing this.
Jason does it with anybody. Hockey boy. It doesn't matter.
He has inside intel. He's going to text that guy. All right, we got to get out of here. We'll see you again tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next here on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.